So we live in the information age where information is so instantly available unto us, and as a result, stories can literally spread across the globe in just the matter of a few clicks on our computer or swipes on our phones. I hope you do realize that not everything that is posted or shared is rooted in the truth. Lies, false accusations, rumors can spread around the world, throughout our community, and even within the church in a matter of just a few moments. With that in mind, how are we to respond when we find ourselves on the receiving end of false accusations, lies, and rumors? Unfortunately, the likelihood for enduring such a thing is relatively high in this world because we live in a fallen world. We live among fallen people. And reality is that some people just thrive on seeking to discredit and destroy other people. Some people enjoy pretending to be something or someone in whom they are not. And so they'll create stories, they'll manipulate the truth, they'll lie about others in order to fulfill and pursue their own personal agenda. So we must not believe everything that we hear. When we hear damaging or information that might discredit another individual, we must be very careful what we do with that information. So many people have been destroyed because others have carelessly shared an unverified account about an individual. So let me be clear. To repeat a lie is to tell a lie. So as God's children, we ought to be very careful with the words that we share. The power of the tongue can bring death and life. Psalm 26 teaches us what to do when we are innocent of the accusations that are being levied against us. And so here's the key for Psalm 26. We should carry the burden of slander before the throne of God's grace. We should take it to Him. And so may we find encouragement today. May we be encouraged in seeing how David demonstrates this in our text this morning. David makes several requests of the Lord throughout Psalm 26. In fact, he makes four. There's the request for vindication, examination, deliverance, and then for redemption. And we'll look at each one of those requests this morning. And so we begin with the request for vindication. Verse number 1 says, "To vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." And so, gripped with intense passion, David calls upon the Lord to vindicate him or to judge him. He asks God to judge him in regard to the charges that his enemies were raising against him. David was confident in his innocence. His conscience was clear of any wrongdoing. By declaring his integrity, David was not claiming to be perfect without any sin in his life. David was not boasting in self-righteousness. He was simply declaring that he was blameless in his overall walk with the Lord, as well as being blameless in his dealings with other people. As I was preparing for this week, I was reading a resource from the beloved J. Vernon McGee. He had this to say. He says, "This is a marvelous psalm that speaks of David's walk. David committed a great sin, but David did not continue to live in sin. What David did once, the king of Babylon did every day. David's sin stands out like a lump of coal in a snowman, because the rest of David's life was an example of godliness. He became a measuring stick for the kings who followed him. Every king was judged by whether or not he walked in the steps of his father David. If you followed David's example, he was accepted and proclaimed to be a good king. And so here in Psalm 26, David, the beloved, he is the accused king. But the accused king was confident of being vindicated by God. He knew that he could call upon the Lord, and he had absolutely no doubt that God would act justly on his behalf. And so David's boldness demonstrates the power of having a clean conscience. When our hearts are pure before the Lord, we are able to pray with greater confidence. Consider 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we kept His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." And so, while this is true, we also recognize the opposite of this to be true, such as in Psalm 66, verse number 18. It says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." May you understand that the effectiveness of our prayers are based upon our fellowship with God. When we have unrepented sin in our lives, our fellowship with God is greatly hindered. And as a result, we cannot pray with liberty or confidence because of that unconfessed and unrepented sin. Well, so therefore, we must confess our sin and have a restored relationship with our God, so that we can pray with boldness and confidence that He will hear and rightly respond. So David makes the initial request for vindication, and then he makes the request for examination. Verse 2, he says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." The words translated "examine" and "try," those words refer to the testing of materials or metals, the burning the metals so that they could discover and determine the true value, so that you could burn away all the impurities within those metals. So what David's saying is that if there were some kind of hidden wickedness within his heart, then he asked God to expose it and to cleanse him from it. And so David's openness and eagerness for God's divine inspection in his life was rooted in his belief that he was free from sinful behavior. He was free from any impure motives. But nevertheless, he calls upon God to give him a thorough examination. And he says, "To test my mind and my heart." Mind and heart, in Hebrew, those words are kilya and le'ev. A more literal translation would be "my kidneys and heart." The kidneys was believed to be the seat of one's emotions, and the heart was the place of moral decision. And so what David is asking for, he wanted to be pure before God. He wanted his desires, his inward desires, and his outward actions to honor God, to please the Father, to glorify Him. And so his desire to be pure before God is rooted in the loving kindness of God. That's why he says in verse number 3, "For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." David's obedience to God was evident in his behavior, It was evident in his attitude, it was evident in his actions, and it was evident in his associations. Look at verse 4. It says, I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. This psalm is very similar to Psalm 1 in its content. David says in verse number 1 that I have walked in my integrity. Then in verse number 3, he says, I have walked in your truth. These are both positive statements. You can go back to Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 presents these same truths, but in a negative tone. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here, David said that he had not sat with deceitful men, nor did he sit with pretenders. David did not sit with the wicked. And so in Psalm 1, he puts it like this. In Psalm 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. And so he's retelling us what he's already told us before. And that he was very clear and intentional in the people with whom he associated himself with. This doesn't imply that David isolated himself from the rest of the world. In fact, you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, specifically in verse number 10. And if you do, you'll see that it tells us that in order for us to completely isolate ourselves from interactions among the wicked and the immoral of this world, if we want to completely isolate ourselves from that, then we'd have to remove ourselves from this world. It's important for us to realize that David did not remove himself from the world. He still had interactions with the wicked or the immoral. He wasn't completely free from any contact with such people. No, but it's important to note that David did not allow the world to define him, nor did he allow the world to defile him. And that's our challenge today. Be very careful. The associations that we keep, that we too would not walk with the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit with the seat of the scornful, that we would be very intentional in who we associate ourselves with. You see, David hated sin. He hated sin and he loved the things of God. And that's our attitude. That's what it should be. We too should hate and despise sin and wickedness. And we should love and value the things that God loves and values. And our lives should be marked with that type of mindset. And so having been examined by the Lord, David's ready to worship him. He says in verse number 6, I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. David loved being in the house of the Lord. In the midst of his struggles, in the midst of such hardships in life, David had a deep desire to be in the presence of the Lord. I want you to understand what a privilege we have today. Think about it. The presence of God is no longer limited to one place. As believers living in this world at this time period, we are privileged that God identifies us as the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says that we are the temple of God. And so God dwells in us, His children, through His Holy Spirit, which means that God is always with us because His presence is always within us. And yet, during troubling times of our lives, we too can find comfort and strength by being in God's house. And sometimes it's nice when you're feeling overwhelmed to go into the place of worship and to sit and to pray and to reflect and to have that special time between you and our Heavenly Father. But may you know, as a child of God, God is with you wherever you are. Always present in your life. Because He dwells within us through His Spirit. And so having looked at His request for vindication and examination, it's important that we turn our attention to David's request for deliverance. Notice what he says, verse number 9. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. David's prayer is that he would not be taken away with sinners. And so what exactly does this mean? What exactly is he saying? The verb to take, or depending on your translation, if you have the ESV, it says to sweep, or the New King James Version says to gather. So whatever it is, to take, to sweep, or to gather, it comes from the Hebrew word asaph. And Asaph is a word that's used to point to a time in the future, specifically a time when the Lord will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And on that day of separation, no, sinners will perish. They will suffer. They will be eternally separated from the presence of God. And they will be doomed to everlasting punishment. But there's another sense in which that word can be used. In the here, in Psalm 26, when we look at David's complete statement, along with the context and the setting of the psalm, it seems to indicate that David is speaking more literally of a physical death than he is of a spiritual one. And so these two verses amplify his prayer for vindication that's found in verse number 1. Namely, his desire to be treated differently than the unfaithful. You see, here David recognizes that sooner or later, God will destroy the unfaithful among his people. And David wanted to be protected from that time of destruction. And so the prayers that God, in such a time, when he brings about that physical death among the unrighteous, that God would make a clear and public distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And that leads David to make the request for redemption. And so David begins the psalm by asking the Lord to vindicate him through the thorough examination of his heart. And he needed to know if there were anything that was unrighteous within him. Now he calls upon God to redeem him and to be gracious towards him. Look at verse 11. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. So rather than following sinners into destruction, David renews his promise to walk in his integrity, to walk trusting that God would graciously redeem him from the destructive lies of his enemies. And so he closes this psalm with a strong and positive note. David finds himself secure within the love of God and secure within the fellowship of God's people. And so he closes it with verse 12 when he says, "My foot stands on a level place. In the congregations I shall bless the Lord." And so God's gracious deliverance calls for a public acknowledgement. So let us not forsake the assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing. But when we come together, let us never forget that we are to give praise and glory unto Him. That we are to gather and to declare His praiseworthy attributes. That we are to gather and we are to be ready to testify of His greatness as demonstrated in and through our lives. And that's why we get together. So in a time in your life, if others are saying things that are untrue about you, don't react in accordance to the flesh. Respond in accordance to His Spirit. Like David, ask our Lord to check our lives. Because perhaps what's being said is actually true, but we're blind to it ourselves. So ask the Lord to search our hearts and our lives and to reveal anything that is impure within us. Should that revelation disclose something that's at fault within us, then repent. Confess it. Repent from it. And walk in a new, fresh relationship with God. But if that examination shows no fault of yourself, then keep moving forward, trusting in Him, delighting in His glory and in His grace. You don't have to respond to every negative thing that is said to you or about you. Let it go. God's got you. And He'll do a much better job of handling the situation than you can. Because He is good. He's faithful. He's true. When you have the sting of being hurt through the words of other people, allow that to drive you to the throne of God's grace. And give it to Him. Trust in Him. And continue to walk in faithfulness. And gather together with other people to declare His praise. And testify. Share with others. Literally open your mouth and tell other people the good things that God is doing in and through your life so that He can be glorified and so that He can receive all the praise and honor that He is due. And what a great example David has given unto us for us to follow. Now we have the task of following it. Oh Lord, help us. Let us pray. Father, we gather in this moment in awe of Your grace, Your love, and Your truth. We know that we live in a world where information travels at lightning speed. We are all too aware of the power of our words. And so, Father, help us to always remember that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Stories, whether they are true or false, can spread across the globe in an instant. And we know, God, that not everything that is shared is rooted in the truth. Throughout the world, in our communities, and sometimes, even within this church, lies, false accusations, rumors have caused deep division and excruciating pain. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and the proper discernment in these moments. Father, help us to always respond with grace when we are on the receiving end of false accusations and slander. As we turn to your word, we thank you for your guidance and the example found in Psalm 26. We see David, a man who's after your own heart. We see him carry his burden of slander before your throne of grace. Father, help us to learn from his example. Help us to find encouragement in your presence. Like David, we ask for vindication, examination, deliverance, and redemption. And so, Father, vindicate us when we have walked in integrity and trusted in you without wavering. Examine us, O Lord. Test our minds and our hearts, revealing and cleansing us from any hidden wickedness. Deliver us, O Lord, from the schemes of the wicked. Redeem us, O Father, by your loving grace. Lord, may our inward desires and outward actions honor and please you. Help us to stand firm in your love, to find security in the fellowship of your people. May we always be ready to declare your praise and to testify to your greatness. Lead us, guide us, direct us in this moment of response. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our Rock, our Refuge, our Redeemer. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.